shared before that to have the Lord's Supper, have that Passover supper with his own was such a special thing to him. And I believe that every time we observe the Lord's Supper, we need to realize it's precious to the Lord for us to remember. So our hearts need to be right in appreciation. And I just would ask Locke to stop and ask the Lord to direct our thinking as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your amazing love in demonstrating that by giving your Son for us to pay the price, to give his life on Calvary that we can accept as a gift and be born into your family. Just invite you, Holy Spirit of God, as we consider several passages out of Scripture, what a blessed people we are that here today, here and now, we're born into your family, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. So guide our time, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been on my attention as I've been thinking about this service today and again being able to observe the Lord's Supper, to think through and just ponder again the amazing thing that God has done. Not only that Jesus did come and give his life for us, but that he brought the message to us, that he saw to it that we've heard. And that's one of the reasons we have a heart for missions. We want people to hear what the Lord has done. It's kind of precious to me in John 17:20, in Jesus' prayer to his Father in that 17th chapter, Jesus said, "Neither do I pray thee for these alone, but for all those that will believe through their word." You and I are in John 17. I pray for all those that will believe through their word. And I just, I want to remind us really just from three different passages I'll try to look at kind of briefly here, about the amazing thing that God has done, especially for us as Gentile people. I don't know if we have any Jewish people here, not that I know of. Anyway, God brought the message to us, and I want to go first of all to Ephesians 2. What an amazing letter to the Ephesian believers of the treasure that Jesus Christ is, bringing them out of so much occult darkness and burning their occult books and bringing them to Christ and talking to them about being one in Christ and what that means. But I especially want to just look at chapter 2 for a moment, where he says to them and to us, a Gentile people, "You hath he quickened." You were dead. You were far off. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But God is rich in his mercy for his love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then those wonderful, he's raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. But so he can show wonderful things in the ages to come. And then he makes it clear, it's by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I think it's so important, and I think we understand that it's not by, we're not saved by baptism. Baptism is a picture of what's already happened as a testimony, and it's not going through different kinds of rituals. It's a gift to be received. When you hear what Jesus did on the cross, he wants us to come to the place where we accept that, we believe it. And that's why he says it's not of your works, it's nothing we can do to attain that. But then what I wanted to look at, verse 11, remember something, Ephesians, remember something, Bereans, remember something, Gentiles, that you at that time, this is verse 12, were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. God had a chosen people through Abraham that he was going to bring the blessing and bring the Savior. We were aliens from that. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. And then he says, and no hope, and without God in the world. And so he paints that picture where we were and where the Ephesians were. And we're right there with them. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's our peace. And he's telling the enemy, telling us, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition and abolished in his flesh the enmity and the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So you go to verse 19. To the Ephesian believers, to me, to you, to my family. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I just, this passage just makes it so clear as you go back to verse 12. We're in the world without hope, without God, but He slew the difference, and he brought us together in one people into his family. Back in Ephesians 1, he said, in Christ, you're accepted, you're adopted into his family. You're brought in. And we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price. That he came and said, my Father so loved the world that he gave me, that whoever believes in me have everlasting life and not perish. And so Ephesians 2 is a real reminder to me of us being brought back into God's family. And no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens. The second I want to look at is in Acts 16. And these are very varied and different, but to me, speaks the same thing. I pray not only for these, but for all those that will believe through their word. And I just want to read at verse 6 of Acts 16. Now, when they had gone, and this is Paul's second missionary journey, taking the word of God, and he's going back now to areas that have heard. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You know that Paul and Silas here, they're serving the Lord. And they woke up and thought, we need to go back into Asia. We need to be go back and strengthen and continue to proclaim the word of God. And this Holy Spirit just stopped them. Nope, you're not going there. We accede to go, but the Spirit suffered us not, which is really interesting. As they're out there on the second missionary journey, trying to go where God wants them to go, and the Spirit just said no. And then Paul has this vision. And a vision, and passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Might have been me. Might have been my grandmother in Sweden. Might have been somebody else in your ancestry in Europe. In that Macedonian man, come over and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And the story goes on. They came to Philippi. But the truth of it is, the Holy Spirit said, no, not at this time. I want you to go to Europe and go into Greece. And I want the gospel to go west, which impacted us. And you know that it wasn't really easy in Philippi. This young lady that they cast this spirit out of and ended up in jail and at midnight in stocks and bonds in the prison, they were singing and praising God, and God sent an earthquake, and that night the jailer and his family were saved and baptized. And but the gospel went west to us because God had us on his heart. And I'm so grateful for you in the Word of God to see how he was orchestrating to bring the gospel to us to be able to hear and to be able to be redeemed and into God's family. Caleb read the passage back in Luke 17, and I just want to go to that before we observe the Lord's Supper today. And so it's just one of the instances in the life of our Lord Jesus. See how it says it here in verse 11 of 17. 11. Get there just a moment. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They had to stay away from people. They had to declare unclean. And I think it'd be very important to understand that there's a picture where we were, where we are. I was thinking of what John said in his very, very last verse of his gospel. He said, if all the things that Jesus said and did were written down, he said, I don't think the world could contain all the books. This is just an instance in the Lord Jesus' day. 10 lepers confront him. And what they said, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. And that's what they did. If there was something being cleansed, the priest would declare them clean. Go show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus spoke the word, they were clean. And you know the story. The Samaritan, he turned back, he fell at Jesus' feet, he gave him thanks, gave him glory. And the thing that we need to see out of that Jesus question, who are the 9? To the Lord Jesus, it was only appropriate. I just gave your life back. God just gave your life back. You can now live a normal life. Now you don't have to be excluded all the time. And it's nothing more but a picture of what he's done for us, to rescue us out of an eternal loss without Christ. And he's given us life. And one day, as we see in the Word of God, that he's prepared for us a wonderful home in heaven. And so I come to that passage, and 9 went on. Wow, I'm going to show the priest. But it was in the heart of the Samaritans. I have been rescued. And he went to Jesus' feet. And of course, the Lord Jesus said to him, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he gave the wholeness to the others. But here's a picture of where we should be, in deep gratitude to the Lord. When I was going over the passage with Ephesus, I also wanted to go to Revelation 2, Revelation where Jesus spoke to the Ephesian church down the line a little bit. He said, you're doing a lot of things right, but I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. And they needed to go back and realize you were in the world without hope, without God, but now are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So I just bring those to us today to remind us of the wonderful thing that God has done to not only bring the gospel to us, but by the power of what he did on the cross, as we accept the gift that he gives us new life. Not only for the rest of our time here to live and serve him, but one day home in his presence. And I would just close with one verse. It's from Colossians 1:13 that to me says it all. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What an amazing thing God's done. He has rescued us. He's delivered us from being under the control of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And as we come to the Lord's table today, may God just move our hearts in a deep gratitude. I thank God for the Macedonian in his vision. Come over and help us. We need the gospel. And whether not only our gratitude, but also that we would have a heart for those that need to hear, whether it's through working through missions or next door or whatever. We want to thank the Lord Jesus for what he's done. And I would like just to pray and thank the Lord. Father, thank you for your love that you demonstrated in sending your Lord Jesus, your son, to pay the price for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to go to the cross and take my sin, take the sin of whoever will come to you and put their trust in you. And Lord Jesus, even now, if there's somebody that just needs in their heart to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I choose to accept you. What you did on the cross, I accept that gift. And I invite you to be my Savior, that you could do that just right now before the Lord's Supper. So thank you, Lord, and I pray as we observe the Lord's Supper, again, remembering what you did, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Lord, that's what's on our heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to send your son to pay the price. I pray that we would live in a way of honoring you and sharing this with others until one day, Lord, we're in your presence to thank you face to face, Lord Jesus. So now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.